Thank you so much for the privilege of being here. I was thinking that just knowing the heart of your pastor and the staff and the church quite a bit, to be sharing here doesn't feel like preaching to the choir. It feels like preaching to the pastor. So I'm not planning to say anything new. I'm just going to share what I've experienced and what I'm learning, because thank you, DB, for the amount of years to remind me. The one thing I want to say is that that the faithfulness is of our Lord, that for so long that He's kept us and provided, so that I have the privilege of doing this. And then with that, I think you will also understand, I got saved when I was 10, I'm 53 now. So I can only say that the Lord has been faithful for all these years. I've hit the railings and I know how much I need the Lord. So all those years that I'm older than you, I've seen how much I need the Lord. Just think how good I know it by now. So the ministry has of Straatwerk has an aspect to the nightlife, then the street-based people, and then concerning prostitution. I just thought of quickly telling you a story of the nightlife. Aubrey and others are involved in that. And this team tells how they went to the street and they had the opportunity of sharing the gospel. You must know the streets are fast. You don't always have that opportunity. And then the conversation developed so far that they could actually say, but don't you think it's time? You know, what is keeping you? Don't you think you might be ready? And they said, no, they think they have to, you know, think about it. And we're all for counting the cost. So we're like, that's great. And then somebody at the back said, I'm ready. So it was a guy sweeping the streets, leaning on his broom. So point just being that wherever we share the seed, sometimes it doesn't fall where we thought they would. But the Lord has this amazing way of making them grow. So concerning the ministry related to prostitution, we have a prevention leg. So that's the lighthouse as a symbol. They say we believe the Lord can keep people from falling into all kinds of traps. Not only prostitution, commercial sexual exploitation of different ways. And he wants to use his church for that. So our flagship for that is a campaign called Valuable to Jesus. By the way, we once went to a school and the lady who I arranged with said, she read on my t-shirt, she goes, oh, Valuable to Jesus. I thought you said Valuable Diseases. And I thought, and she had us come. So guys, don't worry, just ask people. They will let you come. Just So the vision is an end to sexual abuse, prostitution, and pornography. And actually, we make bold to state that we believe the Lord can do that through His church. And the it's a six-point presentation at schools, and we had the privilege of again doing that on Monday. But to see how the Lord restores and that He can do that, we're trusting Him for that. But it's really about us saying 0% tolerance and 100% love, and God can do that through us because of how great He is. Okay, so then if you watch Rescue Alaska, you'll understand, you know, the helicopter. So outreach really says wherever we need to go, and these songs, thank you to the worship team, amazing. So wherever we have to go, there's people who need to hear this message. And for us, it's on the streets, and for some of us, it's specifically concerning the woman. Then restoration and preparation. People coming out of these atrocities need to be guided, like all of us need that. And then impartation, you'll see there's a bigger bridge. We'll talk about that again. But what the Lord has put in our hearts to build a bridge into the rest of the church and into the world. So just a bit of reflection. I've seen that sometimes they make movies, especially concerning commercial sexual exploitation, and then you're like thinking, how in the world did all those things fit in, and did it really happen? And actually, it did happen, but it's usually like 10 years or so, and they kind of put it into one movie, so it goes real quick. My experience over these 3 decades have been that that's what's happening. It's like the harvest is coming quicker. It's like there's momentum being built up. You saw that by the door, you would have seen there's some grapes grew up on a grape farm. And one of the things that always fascinated me when I went to the cellar with my dad, it's very small, is they tip the truck with a load, and then the juices starts running, and then later a few korokis. And then that whole lot, that whole harvest, it's probably, I don't know if it's a ton or how much it weighs, it just falls out, and it's taken away. And it's funny, the other night we were walking in the street, and I'm not sure if it was a physical smell or in the spirit, but I smelled that, that sweetness, and it's coming in. And sometimes I think it has fallen, but somehow it feels like it's right there, and the Lord is inviting us to stand ready to be part of his harvest team, because he's doing amazing things. And I want to tell you this, what you do matters in this harvest. Whatever the Lord calls you to, whatever is on your heart, whatever touches you, it matters, and it is a time for harvest. So I'm going to tell you just a few stories, a few pictures. I thought, you know, the Lord is just doing so many things if I think through all these years. And I thought, no, let's do this week. So this week, on Tuesday, we were reaching out in Paro, so on the streets. And Anna Maria is 70. She was a nurse. And she has like a nerve or something. They've tried everything, but she gets extremely... She goes into great pain when she stands a lot, but she wants to reach out. So she has this chair that looks like a cane, and then she just folds it open and she sits. And it's a common picture to her, to see her then taking one of the ladies and just say, sit on my lap, and sharing the gospel like that. And I thought, that's partnering with God on the streets of this beautiful city of ours. And I can just imagine, can you imagine hearing the gospel for the first time, sitting on somebody's lap in the middle of the street on a chair that I didn't think can even hold one person, so... Then, so that was Tuesday night. Wednesday, we have what we call Journey of Hope. And she wouldn't mind that I say her name, because she just shared her testimony in public. Her name is Wendy. Quite a few of you know her. And when she came on Tuesday, she goes, Sister Mother, at this, it's like a teachers of training thing for doing life skills in school. And she said, you know, they said we should introduce ourselves. So I went to the front and I said, well, I'm a reborn Christian. No, yeah, I mean, I hear from there. And then she said in one of her sessions, she said to me, with him I am content. I'm in a place where I know it is him and me. And you can see it in her whole life. And I was just thinking, like, investment. Alice was very involved. Yvette had to get up whatever time in the morning to take her to Home Affairs at 5. There's been so many people who invested in their life. And at some stage, if you said, I don't think it worked, you know, when she went back, and then came out again, and God was working, and he was using all of that. The next picture was Friday night at the stables there in Woodstock, and we had the opportunity of sharing the song of the week, and we take a song with, and we give them the sheet, and then we play to them on our phones sometimes. Our phones haven't been grabbed doing that. Our eagles look out for that. Hello is one of our eagles. And she was just sobbing. She's Muslim, and she was just sobbing. And then children appeared. Like, they were just standing there. And then we were driving from that place, and Alice and my number's at the bottom of the page. And then I said, hello, my name is Yaik. And I just want to say thank you for the chips you just gave us. We didn't have a chance to say that. It's little Muslim children, and... Reverend Gibson was with us. He's from Zimbabwe. He gave them the chips, and somehow there was just all of us with touch, all of us standing there. Sherry puts the song in a format that we can easily play to them. So it's such a team effort, and sometimes we just have the privilege of standing in front to see. And then I want to tell you a story of Thursday night. For many years, we've been praying to get into the strip clubs and other places where we can't get to the ladies. And Thursday night, long, you can think this is quite a long process still here. Carolyn is a physiotherapist. She's been part of the team for very long. And one of the ladies said she has back pain when we reached out there Tuesday night. And Carolyn said, man, it's those shoes, because it's so high, it's so bad for your back. And then we went to the manager, who's a Muslim, who freely lets us in. The woman of peace is a Muslim. We can discuss that later. But I'm not sure if one should call her that. But point is, so Karen says, how many of your women have back pain? She goes, most of them. And then basically Karen says, well, you know we can't take the shoes away, but may I give them exercises? So Thursday night we went there. We had about 12 minutes. nine of the ladies. And Carolyn, you just like that authority the Lord gives you. She stepped into that. She's, ladies, you know when you wear that shoes, you go stand like that. And that's what does that. So come on, stretch you. And she showed them what muscle. I'm still trying to figure out where that muscle exactly sits. But so, and they were some of them already in their gear for going on the floor and so on. And the one said, I wrote it down, so I didn't forget. She said, but you did not feel my muscles. Because Carolyn would just go and say, no, that one. And, you know, just like a physio would do. And that healthy touch, it's like they were like, it's like, you haven't touched my muscle. And it's these ladies who's, you know, and the Lord is touching people in different ways. And it's often a smile. And it's people doing what they can do. And we can all do that. We can all smile. We can all touch. And I want to share this as a testimony to for going into the strip club. It was in 2006 that the vision came. I still can't remember. Leia designed it, but it said healthy hearts for healthy living, body, soul, and spirit. And then when we were there on Thursday night, I'm like, oh, that was the vision. We can tell them, we care about your body, soul, and spirit. That's why we're here. So we gave them toothpaste and juice and exercises. So just to say that when the Lord invites us to partner with him, it's in ways that only he can do because of the unique design that he's made us to be. So let's pray. Lord, when we talk about these things, we realize that it's only you. Only you can touch hearts. And you're touching ours. And we know that we need you so much, Lord. And I pray that as we discuss this, that it will not be a celebration of anything else but you, because we want to lift you high. We want people to see you. And Lord, if there's anything that we want more than that, we pray that you will change our hearts. Also, as we listen, as we study your word today, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so D.R. Moody said, if you want to partner with God, or if God be your partner, make your plans large. Wouldn't that make sense? Make your plans large. And I'm sure you've seen many things throughout your life of how God does miracles. But the biggest miracle is when a heart changes. And we know that because we see it in other people's lives, but we also know that because we see it in our own lives. Haven't you stood amazed before change? You go, that must have been God. I've tried. I couldn't do it. And that's the invitation. So I'm going to start, because I'm starting now. I'm going to start by sharing the conclusion. And then I'll touch on that again later. But the summary is basically that I want to ask you to please do not live carefully. Don't do that. You know what is one of the worst things when you're on a race? Is when you're done and you're like, I have so much left in me. I think we just want to fall over the line since we're done. You know when you've run a race and you're so sore you can hardly walk, you're like, that was a good race. And the Lord is inviting us on that. And again, we're partnering with him. In that 6-point message that we've shared with you with the children, we use a butterfly to say, God has a dream plan for your life. He loves you. He made you. He has a dream plan. That plan is that you will know him, that you will know his love, and that you will share that love and make the world a better place. And then we have them raise their hands. And it depends. It was about 300 Monday, but sometimes it's like 1,000 or so. And that little kid stand with their hands raised and they say, I can dream. And it touches me so deeply. And I want you to raise your hands and say, I am in this, but I want to do it with all of me. And then as we were worshiping, I thought I should also read you this at the end that I would have said at the end. Say, until we are broken and yielded unto God, we are just another zealous soul working counter to the kingdom. And it refers to Paul. He was zealously going after Christians, and it wasn't God's mission. So I would have, if you asked me, few years back, I would have said, you know, that we're strong and healed and focused and all of that. I'm still saying that, but I'm saying, you know what, we're going to be broken. I remember in 98, I was at the conference, and you know, they do these commissioning prayers. So I went to the commissioning side, and they prayed this over me to be broken bread and poured out wine. And that's the invitation, to partner with God as broken bread and poured out wine. And then I want you to really contemplate this. I'm still doing it, but I'm going to teach about it now. So We are very used to saying that there's only one person like you. And we want them thumbprint and fingerprint and all of that. And that's true. But do you realize that the whole of you is unique? So just think of this. God made you in his image. So if you're unique, that means that there's a unique part of God's image right inside of you. And guess what? That if that reveals God in a unique way, then it's only you who can show that part of God to the world. And then your witness, but not only the story you tell, but the life you live, there's only one of it. And you are needed. And I don't think we, however the Lord shows you, but live that story and live it authentically, because I think that is what we need. One of the best outreaches I remember was I was crying so much I couldn't talk to the lady. But she was also crying, so eventually we could start talking. And since that day, her heart is open to us. It wasn't a strategy, it just came naturally. So the call is really to say, how can we be? Because it's not that much about, I'm all for acts of kindness, we'll talk about that, but we have to be kind. It's all about going to places and doing things, but it's about who we are. And that only the Spirit can change. Only God can build us, and that's the amazing thing. If you want to follow as we read scripture, we're going to read John 15, verse 1 to 17. And then after that, I'm going to read other verses, so you don't have to look that up. So John 15. So 1 John doesn't have 15 chapters, so you would have figured that out. Okay, so John 15, verse 1 to 17. I wanted to just read part of it, but it's so amazing. Like, if you can think of it, God says, you're partnering with me on the streets of Cape Town. And this is your manual. Just listen to this. And think of it not as like, you know, like a far off process, but an intimate journey God is calling us to. And it says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from you, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. This brings great glory to my Father. I've loved you even as the Father's loved me. Can we just stop there? I have loved you even as the Father's loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. Isn't that amazing? You're my friends. You're not slaves. I've told you everything my Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask. Using my name, this is my command, love each other. What an invitation. God says, stay in me. So what's our work? Stay in me, believe in my Son. Often the word is, believe in my Son, stay in me, and I will produce the fruit through you. Galatians 5:22. The Holy Spirit is given to us to equip us because the Holy Spirit is alive in us. So the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the passion of the Spirit gives us everything we need. We don't have to be worried that we don't have it. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Then listen to three verses later. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Isn't that amazing? Since we're living in the Spirit, let's follow His leading in every part of our life. Then we will be partnering with Him. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept them. We beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. It says, live from this gift because that's what we're bringing. Matthew 9, Jesus looking over the crowds. I imagine it was a city. As it was Jerusalem, if I remember correctly. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He says, that's what they need. They need a shepherd. Just go and tell them where you find your pasture and who leads you there and they'll be fine because that's what I do. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Isn't that an amazing thought? Long ago, He knew we were going to be here now. And for such a time as this, you are here now. And let me just tell you, you got your age right too. Because if you were 2 and you were here in the city, it would have a very different calling than when you're 20 or 40 or 60 or whatever you are. And that's how good God plans. And then our verse for the ministry, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 says, the love of Christ compels us. And isn't that amazing? It says, that's why we will keep going. And what a gift that He puts His love in us, that He continues to compel us, that we have this desire, that when we sing these songs, that it touches us. We are called to the life we are invited to in this word. That's it. You can just keep reading the Bible, do what He says. So basically the summary is that it's about loving well. And I definitely cannot do it on my own, but He can. And then we're going to grow in learning how to do it in the different contexts that He gives us and He puts us in. So the Holy Spirit is at work in us. He's at work among us. And He works through us. And He puts that together. So it seems like we need to be intentional if we want to partner with Him on these streets. And say, Lord, what is it that You're calling me to? How can I be more intentional? How can I be more ready? And then we need to be close enough to people. You know, if you're eating something that desperately needs salt and the salt shaker's on the table, but it's not on the food, it doesn't taste good. It has to be on. We call it close proximity. Sometimes we need to get closer to people. And somehow that's scary for us. But it's okay because it's Him in us. And then we need to be consistent in our presence and also in our character. And only the Lord can do that. But if we are crafted into Him, then we keep looking like Him. What do we need to do? We need to serve. We need to learn and we need to worship. In the ministry concerning prostitution, we say the one-liner is prostitution transformed into worship. And that's true of all of us. Walking out of prostitution, where we worship anything or anybody else, and living in a relationship, say, Lord, I'm Yours alone. And only You can do that for us and in us. I want to read you a quote from Lila Watson. It might be very familiar. So then I'll remind you of it again. It says, if you have come here, so thinking of the people we are now saying the Lord is calling us to, now that He's inviting us to, says, if you have come here to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together. And that's a different posture. It's one of being a servant. It's one of learning. It's one of serving in ways that says, I don't have what you need, but God does. So I point to Him. Have some of you heard of the wheelchair project with the bread tags? So you collect bread tags and then you give it somewhere, you know, it becomes a wheelchair. But if you're worried about that, it's not the bread tags becoming the wheelchair. They're getting it together from the bread tags. They make seedling containers. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so now I thought I want to know. So they say 200 kilograms of bread tags is needed to buy one wheelchair. That is about 260,000. Okay, now my question is, if you see one bread tag laying on the road when you go running, will you pick up that one remembering that there's 259,999 left, even if you pick up that one? Will you pick it up? Kapoza says, yes, she will. Okay, so but let's change the question. If there's somebody you love who desperately needs a wheelchair and that's the only way that that person can be mobile, will you then pick up that one bread bag? I think all of us would. And see, that's the thing now. If there's a chain, we often talk of the chain, we like being the first one, tell them about Jesus, or they just gave their life to the Lord. In between, there might be 259,999 smiles and acts of kindness and things that has to happen. My question is, will you do that one smile? Will I put my hand on somebody's shoulder knowing it's just among many? And I hope the answer will always be yes, because we never know. We never know how the Lord's going to use that. In this amazing topic that Pastor D.B. gave me, I thought, what's the different parts of it? So we say God. So who's this God? It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit wants to partner with us. Cape Town, it's known for its beauty, and it's known for weird things, and it's known for sinful things. And it's a beautiful combination, and we live in that city. Yeah? And now the Lord says, counter that. If there's pride, né? Then humility. If people just want to live for themselves, go and serve. If just find that thing that's like killing you, and it's like, I'm going to live in the opposite spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Who's us? We are His people. And then the streets of Cape Town specifically, and we say, who's these people? Everyone in the city. And now I want you to think about the streets of a city like Cape Town. People are looking for something and they're going somewhere. Yeah? That gives us a very unique opportunity. So basically, as we're moving around, as we're going somewhere, there's something we can do. And then we have to be ready, like a soldier. So every opportunity to encourage, every opportunity to touch, every opportunity to smile, every opportunity. And those are part of the perhaps 260,000. Or it might just be one moment because of the Lord have been loving them well. And then I want us to think about this. It was very interesting. Just after I got the topic for the message, I was thinking, I automatically thought that it's for, going to not yet believers. And then I was like, no, it's all of us. It is so important that we realize that when God strategically calls us to the streets of Cape Town, it's for those who do not believe yet, but it's also towards believers. And you know what is the best, just think for a moment, what is the best evangelism method and tool? It's unity. That's what He said. If you love each other, the world will know. So to say we're going to just serve others, the Lord says, we have to serve each other. We are so privileged to do exactly that. You would have heard that Cape Town is a source, a destination, and also, I always forget the, destination, source, and transit for human trafficking, commercial sexual exploitation. Okay, so people come from here, people go from here, and people go through here. And yesterday it struck me and say, well, we can be that in a different way too. We can be a source. We can be the destination, and we can be transit. For Christians, who says we're in the city, we can be sending people out like you're doing, and we can be a transit where people come and go again because they get trained and loved here. So we can be that for not yet believers too and say, you're welcome here. Come in our midst. And from here, you can go again, but this can be your home that we send you out from, and you can come through here and be changed. And what about we get known for that? That we are a city that is source, transit, and destination in the opposite spirit than what has been happening in so many ways. And the Lord is doing amazing things. So Christ came. And we all know the bridge picture. But that's basically what He did. I want to read this to you. It's what bridges do. They join things together that were once separate. Similarly, Jesus Christ is the ultimate bridge between humanity and God. He made a way where there really was no way. He made it possible for us to connect with God, and He has sent us into the world to build bridges to a lost and broken humanity so that they too can know Him. So it's all about the relationship. And God knows what He does when He puts us next to people. And He wants to use that strategically, and He will continue to do that. So we partner with God in the streets of Cape Town when we allow Him to love well through us. and when we become broken bread and poured out wine. It says this beautiful, I just really like this verse, 1 Corinthians 5:58 says, in the message, it says, throw yourself into the work of the master. See? The invitation. Throw yourself to the work of the master because it is from the relationship, because we crafted into him and he will live his life through us. And this morning I thought, what is like as I'm praying, what is this one prayer request? That we will get to know him as we partner with him, and that others will get to know him because we partner with him. I want to read you, I want to read you a lot of things. Let me read you this. Okay. Let me first say this, because read it. Say, the Jesus of my journey will never say to me, you trusted beyond the reasonable limits. You hoped for too much from me. You should have only played with my word. He says, no, the Christ of my life will never say that. His saving acts of loving kindness in my life gives firm support to reckless confidence. My history, like Israel's, is a celebration of God's faithfulness. And before I pray for us, I want to read from this book. It's called The Singer. Anybody familiar with The Singer? Okay, so there we go, last paper. So in this book, Calvin Miller depicts Jesus as a singer who's singing a beautiful love song. And then the devil is playing a flute, trying to teach him that song. Now, just picture this picture on the street of a woman standing there selling herself in prostitution. And then think of Jesus coming as this singer who wants to teach them a song. And then you hear the conversation between her and him. Let our hearts bow to what he wants to tell us. Okay, he met a woman in the street. She leaned against an open door and sang through her half-parted lips a song that he could barely hear. He knew her friendship was for hire. She was without a doubt a study in desire. Her hair fell free around her shoulders and intrigue played upon her lips. Are you engaged? She asked. No, only loved, he answered. And do you pay for love? No, he said, but I owe it everything. You are alone. Could I sell you but an hour of friendship? Deaf to her surface proposition, he said, tell me of the song that you were singing as I came upon you. Where did you learn it? His questions troubled her. At length, she said, the first time that I ever sold myself, I learned it from a tall, impressive man. And did he play a silver pipe? The singer asked. She seemed surprised. Do you know the man who bought me first? Yes, not long ago. In fact, he did his best to teach that song to me. I cannot understand, she says. I saw friendship and you, your melody. Why would he teach us both the self-same song? The singer pitied her. He knew that the world hater had the way of making every victim feel as though he were the only person who could sing his song. He only has one song. He therefore teaches it to everyone. It is a song of hate. No, it is a love song, she says. The first night that he held me close, he sang it tenderly, and so in every way he owned me while he sang to me of love. And have you seen him since? No, not him, but a never-ending queue of men with his desires. So it was no love song. Tell me, did he also say that someday in the merchandising of your soul, you would find someone who would not simply leave his fee upon the stand, but rather take you home to care for you and cherish you? Again, she seemed surprised. Those were indeed his very words. How can you know them? Have you found the one that he has promised? Not yet, she responded. And how long have you peddled friendship? Some 20 years are gone since first I learned the song that you inquired about. The singer felt a burst of pity. We sometimes give ourselves to hate in masquerade and only think it love. In all our lives, we sing the song we thought was right. The canyon of the damned is filled with singers who thought they knew a love song. Listen why I sing you a song of love. He began the melody so vital to the dying men around him. In the beginning was a song of love. She listened, knew for the first time she was hearing all of love there was. Her eyes swam when he was finished. She sobbed and sobbed in shame. Forgive me, Father Spirit, for I am sinful and undone. for singing weary years of all the wrong words. The singer touched her shoulder and told her of the joy that lay ahead if she could learn the music he had sung. He left her in the street and walked away, and as he left, he heard her singing his new song. And when he turned to wave a final time, he saw her shaking her head to a French buyer. She would not take his money. And from his little distance, the singer heard her use his very words. "Are you engaged?" the buyer asked. "No, only loved," she answered. "And do you pay for love?" "No, but I owe it everything." And that's our song. We owe it everything. We owe him everything. And he's inviting us on this endeavor of partnering with him. Just thinking we're partnering with God. And when we go on the streets, you'll see there's a box with stones. You're welcome to take one if you want to put it somewhere to remember to pray, or put it on the street. We put it on the streets. There's hundreds of these stones put in the street. Each time we go, they're gone. And the one I put outside of Naughty Forties was a bit like that. Then I couldn't see it. They're too high up. So then you just turn it, they take it. So all kinds of words. I like this one. It says, "Where death died, hope, joy," all kinds of things. When you carry a stone, you put it somewhere, just pray that the Lord will teach them about his song of love. There's some song sheets on A5. We take songs with to the street, like I said earlier. If you want to give it to somebody, then just take the song and say, "Listen to this. I want to share this with you." And then there's lollipops. That's very important outreach material. Lollipops you can buy a lot for 50 rand. So take one to give it to somebody and just say, "I thought of you." Or walk past a stranger on the street and just say, "I want to tell you that Jesus loves you." Or just look at the person, because it's all about being attentive. It's all about being present. And I want to ask that, I'm going to do what Pastor Debbie did, I'm going to read us a song that's about brokenness and God's blessing. So if you feel that the Lord is specifically calling you to be broken bread and poured out wine, if you're sensing that he says, "I want to sing my song through you," and you're feeling, "I want to wholeheartedly do that," then I invite you to stand, and I'm going to pray this prayer over us, word of blessing. So let's just close our eyes. I'll pray for us first, and then I'm going to read that prayer. Lord, we thank you that we are so privileged, that we belong to you, and that we crafted into you. And Lord, we stand amazed when we see any fruit, because then we realize it's really you. That looks like you. So it can't be my own nature, old nature, and own nature. It's you. It's what you originally made us to be, and we just commit ourselves to you. Lord, I commit this whole congregation to you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing through them. Thank you for all the well you're loving around the world, in Sri Lanka, in Africa, in many places, Lord. And we honor you for that. And we ask you, Lord, you will continue to do it. I'm thinking of that song I listened to yesterday, say, if you do all of this, Lord, please don't do it without me. But it actually works the other way around. You invite us. You say, come. And then, Lord, this verse is, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its various expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Thank you that your love is limitless. Lord, and I pray as I read this word of blessing, Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open and that the words and the lines will stand out that's specifically meant for us. May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and to turn their pain to joy. May God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in the world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. May we be broken bread and poured out wine, so that our crucified, resurrected Christ will be made known. And Lord, when we use communion, sometimes you forget that it's already bread that's broken. And the wine was already grapes that were crushed. So we want to tell you, Lord, not bravely, but humbly, that we want to be in your hands, whatever that means. And the part of our hearts that doesn't want this, please change that to also want it. Okay, I want you to stand with closed eyes. I have little clip-on butterflies with hands. If you are somebody who needs something to put on you to remember, you're welcome to come and fetch one. But I want us to sing, O Come Let Us Adore Him, which is kind of like a theme song for us. Because if we do that, he will be known on the streets of Cape Town. Oh, come let us adore him.
Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Christ the Lord, we give you all the glory. Lord, you know my heart and how I so often say yes. And say, yes, Lord, you can use me. Yes, Lord, I'll be broken. I'll be poured out. And Lord, then you know, then sometimes I run straight back into my hole, into my shell. And I have a million excuses for. And I pretend that it's still okay. Lord, I repent of that today. And I declare, Father, that it's through your inspiration that that boldness comes, and it's only through the power of your Holy Spirit that that boldness can reside and remain in us. And we pray that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, Lord. We need you, Lord, in us to rise up so that we can have the boldness to love. as you've called us and as you also love us. The boldness you had to hang naked on that cross, pray for an importation through your Holy Spirit into us. I pray that you would forgive me and forgive us where we turn a blind eye and where we choose comfort. Holy Spirit, move in us mightily as we say yes to you, to be broken and poured out.
Your love, God, and it's so inclusive, Lord, and I just got this picture of flowers that were treated upon, God, and just felt you encouraging us, Lord, that our brokenness and our weakness, it's beauty to you, God, when we trust you with it and we surrender it, God. No more disqualification, that we are children in your house, God, that we can lift out clean hands and pure hearts, God. I worship you for you are, God. No more condemnation, Lord. No more excuses. Jesus is your love. We owe everything to that, God. We owe our weaknesses. We owe our shame, God. We owe our hurts, Lord. Because you are trustworthy. You can be trusted with it, God. And I just felt that's a fragrance unto you, God. When we give that to you, God. And it's through that. I just felt, Lord, it's through those cracks, through those brokenness and those pains, God, that our testimony will live in people's heart and bring life. Your love will be known, made known to them, God, when we are humble and we declare our weaknesses, Lord. To those around us, God, and we are authentic and we allow our things that we've been treated upon, God, and we don't understand and we hurt, Lord. We come and surrender those things, God. We are qualified by you, Lord, as your sons and daughters, Lord. Just declare sonship of all of us, Lord. And this is a safe space, God. Your love is so safe. We can surrender, we can be vulnerable, we can open up every little corner of our heart, Lord. No more secretivity, Lord, with you, Jesus. We just surrender all of those things. Thank you that in church, God, we can declare those things to each other, God, to bring it into the light, and we can just receive your love and let it grow like a soft, gentle wind over a cool water, Lord, and there's like a pond of life. You are, Lord, and we just allow that water, Lord, to blow over us, God, and for us to receive that love and look into your fiery eyes, Jesus, that you are enough. We worship you, we love you, and we want to make you know, Lord.
For is the Lamb, you are holy, holy, are you Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, the love.